Chapter 7. Dr. Howard's Class. Technology class was Robert's least favorite, but it wasn't because of the subject matter. Like his father and brother before him, he loved experimenting with gadgets and gizmos and trying to invent his way out of a problem, like MacGyver. The real issue was the teacher, a certain Dr. Forrest Howard. The cocky, pompous authoritarian ruled over his classroom like a dictator surveying his miniature kingdom. And it didn't even comfort Robert that he had awarded his brother a first-place ribbon in last year's science fair. Unfortunately for Dr. Howard, but fortunately for his students, his entire authority stretched to just 5 desks wide by 4 desks long. Robert was smack dab in the middle, next to his best buds Chris and Rennie, who were in the middle of one of their inane discussions.
"What kind of name is Rennie, anyway?"
Chris whispered to Rennie.
"It's short for Reniginald."
Rennie was greeted with a blank stare.
"What?"
Chris asked, dumbfounded. Attempting to help, Robert added,
"Reniginald isn't a name. Tell that to my parents."
Rennie bemoaned, glumly looking at his desk. Chris shrugged his shoulders.
"Well, I guess it could be worse,"
he began, giggling.
"It could be short for Regina."
Robert joined his laughter as Rennie simply blushed, hoping the nearby girls didn't overhear their conversation.
"Oh, you're a regular member of the Hardy Har Har Boys,"
he said.
"Quiet, you three,"
Dr. Howard admonished from the front of the room, where he was demonstrating the internal workings of a standard gearbox.
"Yeah,"
Rennie admonished his friends.
"Keep it down. He was talking to all of us,"
Chris interjected.
"No, he wasn't. He said you three,"
Chris said, even louder.
"I know you know how to count." "This isn't math class,"
Rennie said, just as Dr. Howard spun around to point a crooked digit toward the wayward trio.
"That's it. I'm separating you three,"
he warned.
"You see?"
Chris whispered to Rennie.
"He said three."
"I said enough,"
their professor continued.
"Christopher, go to the empty desk in the back row."
Rennie laughed mockingly in his direction, until Dr. Howard's next seat reassignment.
"Rennie, move to the empty desk in the front row."
Now it was Chris's turn to laugh.
"Finally, Robert, head to the supply closet."
Robert's eyes widened like window shutters. Just about everyone in Dr. Howard's class had at one time or another been sent to his supply closet, which was more like a small room than a closet. There, his teacher stored all the leftover machine parts he couldn't fit either in his home or classroom, since he was usually juggling 5 or 6 inventions. Despite it being only late October, Robert was one of the last few who hadn't been sent to the dreaded place of punishment. And even though he was mildly curious about what kind of knickknacks his teacher had in storage, he was in no mood to spend the rest of his class time in a darkened, claustrophobic space. It was humiliating, like they were still in early grade school, not junior high.
"Mr. Howard,"
Robert began his plea.
"Dr. Howard,"
the teacher pretentiously corrected his student, as was his wont.
"Sorry, doc. I mean, doctor,"
Robert stammered.
"Would it be okay if I just stayed out here with everyone else? You can still send me to another seat, away from my friends."
"I'm your teacher,"
Dr. Howard cut Robert off.
"And therefore, I will tell you what to do. Not the other way around. Besides, I don't believe I've ever assigned you the closet before. So it's your turn. It's only fair."
Robert rolled his eyes at Dr. Howard's idea of what constituted fair. But the teacher caught this snotty gesture and shot him a nastier look than his father ever did. Which was enough to not only send a shiver down Robert's spine, but he sprang from his desk toward the open door of the supply closet.
"Yes, sir,"
he said, passing the frustrated educator.
"Doctor,"
he once again corrected. Robert almost flew off the handle, thinking, "Sir, isn't respectable enough for you?" But thought better of uttering it out loud for the classroom, and particularly Dr. Howard, to hear. Robert dutifully marched into that damp, musty closet like a good soldier. And for an extra dose of embarrassment, Dr. Howard closed the door and locked it with a key from one of his many lab coat pockets. Robert thought he heard some murmured laughter from just beyond the door, along with Dr. Howard instructing them to quiet down. But he decided it was better not to focus on such things. That way of thinking only leads to madness, he reasoned. Since he couldn't exactly hear Dr. Howard's lesson anymore, Robert decided that his forceful imprisonment just might be a blessing in disguise. And with nothing else to do, he began exploring row after row of the mechanical toys and trinkets lining the closet's shelves. Half-broken beakers, half a robotic arm with a silvery metal claw for a hand, miniature hole-filled tires. Robert wondered why he bothered to keep any of this junk. Then he spied something at the end of the closet, tucked away in the bottom corner, like the Ark of the Covenant from the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. It appeared as if it was not meant to be disturbed, yet it seemed to call his name all the same. A green blanket was half concealing it, but he almost recognized the lettering underneath. All he could make out were the letters T-U-R. His face widening with astonished recognition, Robert raced over to the object to whisk the blanket off and read the rest of the word. Turbo. It was Danny's turbocharger.